Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We'll go in our Bibles to, let's go to John 10:10. We were there, I want to say, I'm not positive, I think it might have been last Wednesday night. We were there in John 10:10, but we're going to go back. And I'm just going to talk to you tonight about aggressively reaping your harvest. It's like a few days ago, the Lord just dropped this on me to talk about this. And so we're going to do it. John 10:10, you got it? Yeah, anybody ever read this before? Most of you can probably quote it. But let's read it again. You know, I think it was like cornflakes that used to say, have them again for the first time. You know, anybody ever heard that? Try them again or something like that for the first time. I thought I didn't even like them the first time. So unless they were frosted, you know, I like frosted, but not the regular stuff. I don't know. It's just like chunks of cardboard or something. But anyway, you put a little frosting on them and they go down a lot easier. Amen. Now, in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Notice the first thing he does, he comes to steal. And after he steals, then to kill and to destroy. Now, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I want to back up here because I want to center in on the phrase that the thief comes not. This is what he comes for, so you have to be aware of this. He comes to, first of all, steal. Steal. I believe the devil wants to steal your harvest. You see, he knows. A lot of times, this may not sound right, but I believe it is. A lot of times, the devil knows more about the word than believers do. Isn't that something? That when Jesus was in his ministry, the demons knew who he was, but the religious people did not? Come on. I hope we're different than that, right? We believe the word more than the devil, right? All right, praise God. But you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about general, as that's just like a shot out over the whole body of Christ. And so the devil knows Genesis 8:22. Do you know Genesis 8:22? I know Pastor Chuck knows Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Now, that's not just in the natural. That's not just if we go plant corn, we're going to harvest corn. Because the Apostle Paul said this in Corinthians. He said that which is spiritual was not first, but that which is natural, and then that which is spiritual. So the things that God did, he did the natural first, the creating of the earth and all of that and all the natural, the making of man, the making of all that inhabits the earth. He did all that. But then he came along in Christ Jesus and made a spiritual creation. That's what Paul's talking about. That the first Adam was a natural man, but the second Adam was the Lord from heaven. Amen. And when you think about it now, you know, I know this is a strong statement, but I really believe it's the truth. When you think about it, if you're in Christ, you're in a better spot than Adam ever was in. Adam was in the garden. It got corrupted. But we're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. That cannot be moved. And so when I say that because I want you to understand that there's not only seed, as long as the earth remains, there's not only seed time and harvest in the natural, there's seed time and harvest in the kingdom of God. And the devil knows that, and he'll do anything to keep you from reaping your harvest. Amen. You know, whatever your harvest might be. Now, I'm not just talking about money, although that's included. Amen. But God, you know, divine healing and health is included. But there's a lot of other things. You know, the fact that you're saved, you've reaped that part. You know what I mean by saved? I'm using that in a generic sense. The word salvation is the whole package. But generically, you're born again, right? You're going to heaven. You've reaped off of that. You know what I'm saying? See, I found this out about the devil. He does not want you to get born again. He does not want you people born again. But once they're born again, he doesn't want them to know what they have. Amen. He doesn't want them to know who they are in Christ, what they have, and he doesn't want them to know about the nature of God. He'll try to blind you to what God's nature is really like. That God is good. That God is benevolent. That God, you know, the Lord's, you know, sometimes it just takes a lot of mind renewal for you to get your mind to where you realize God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Am I feeling unbelief here? What is this? God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed, and we want to be blessed, but God wants us blessed. Amen. And so, you know, and a lot of people don't really, in churches, they think if you teach this that you're just being selfish and you should just be concerned about spiritual things. But listen, God can handle both. What he doesn't want out of us is for us to be overly concerned about natural things. He wants us to let him take care of that and put the kingdom of God first, and then he'll take care of that. But it takes faith on our part to believe it. If you don't believe it, how many know you won't have what you don't believe? You know, and it doesn't mean that you're a lesser Christian. It just means you're living in less than what you could have as a Christian. Amen? So let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's get this started. But I want you to see the thief, he'll do anything. He'll make up any kind of excuse and put it in your mind. He'll make up bring any kind of circumstance to try to get you not to aggressively reap what belongs to you. Reap your harvest. And so you have to be really determined about it. You know, years ago, I knew a person that was a farmer and knew him pretty well, was fairly close with them, you know, close like being at their house, eating and so forth and things like that, you know, and so forth. So I knew them. And one of the things I noticed about them is when it came harvest time, you never saw them. They were out there the whole time. You ever seen these farmers, you know, and it's like midnight and they're still out there on their combine with the lights on? I mean, they're not just being passive about it, are they? They're being aggressive. Why? Because they know there's a harvest out here to reap, and I'm going to reap this harvest. Amen. And this guy was that way, you know. I mean, you know, after he'd plant and all that, then you'd see him, you know. But once harvest time came, it's like, he disappeared off the face of the earth, man. I mean, he is on combine mode, and that's what he did, man. He told me one time. He said, "When I get to heaven, he said, there's going to be corn around my mansion." Well, probably will be. You know, God meets desires, right? I mean, he can have it. You know what I'm saying? But I want mountains and trees and, you know, water. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Go there, and I want to read some verses here. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Do not be deceived." See, here's the problem. See, people get deceived. God's not mocked. "For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Once you know, this is up to man to do the sowing, not God. Now, the J.B. Phillips translation, you know, where it says, the King James says, "Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." The J.B. Phillips translation translates it this way: a man's harvest in life depends entirely on what he sows. So if you're not sowing anything, how many know, you're not going to reap anything. Years ago, I heard Brother Copeland say this. A guy came to him and said, "I want to know why I'm not reaping, why I'm not getting blessed," something to that effect. And Brother Copeland said, "I didn't know what to tell him, so I went to God and prayed about it." He said, "Go ask him why General Motors didn't give him any money last year, why they didn't pay him anything." He thought, Brother Copeland thought, "What's that got to do with anything?" So he did it. He said, and the Lord explained it to him. He went to the guy and he told the guy, he said, the Lord told me to ask you why didn't General Motors pay you anything last year. He said, "They didn't owe me anything." He said, "That's what God said too. He didn't owe you anything. He didn't sow anything." Well, amen. See, God's provided the harvest, but we have to take the means and be aggressive to reap it. Now, let's read on here, and we're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap. So if you want to reap from your flesh, you got to sow to your flesh. I don't know about you. I don't want to reap from the flesh because he says he'll reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what kind of harvest you want? Depends on what you're sowing. That's what you're having. Amen. Now, verse 9, this is what I wanted to get to. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Notice this. If. I have that if circled. I have it highlighted because it's a big word. If we faint not. Now, here's the thing. If Paul said, we will reap in due season if we faint not. See that? That's the circle around if. If we faint not. That's a big word. Now that tells me this. It tells me this. We could actually have a harvest out there waiting on us and not reap it. It could be there, but we might not reap it. That's what Paul said. He said, if we faint not. In other words, the harvest could be there, but you faint. It's possible to have a harvest and not reap it. Why? Because harvest isn't automatic. Is sowing automatic? I mean, think about the farmer. He has to take in the spring, he has to go out and he has to plow up and fertilize and whatever all they do, you know, and plant the seed. He has to work hard at it, right? All right. So he has to do all of that, all right? But that crop, he doesn't make it grow. See, it's the miracle working power of God that causes it to grow. See, God put power in the seed, see? It's a miracle thing. Even scientists today can't really explain why it grows. See, there's an element. You know, there's an element of the supernatural in just about everything that can't be explained. Are you with me now? The world calls it the Big Bang. Well, I don't care what you call it. It's God. All right. Just because you can't explain it doesn't mean it's not real. All right. So how God does it, and you know, we may not know how he does it, but we just trust the supernatural. Amen. And so they don't know how that works, but that farmer, he plants the seed, it starts to grow. Well, I mean, when it becomes mature, he has to go out and harvest it. I mean, he's got to be aggressive about it, right? And he can't just sit back and say, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. I mean, no, he won't have anything, right? He's got to get out off the couch and go out there and get it. Well, I'm finding out that, you know, more and more even, you know, I'm learning more and more about it. That, you know, our harvest in the Spirit, the things that we harvest from the Word, it doesn't just automatically come on us. We have to be aggressive about it at times. We have to be aggressive and go after it. Are you with me? See, Jesus said it like this. He said, you know, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, that word violent means forceful. Forceful, see. And see, if you read that scripture, I didn't know what it meant for a long time, and then I saw it one day. The whole scripture says that, you know, from the law until John, they prophesied. But after that, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I saw it one day from the prophets to John the Baptist. All there was prophesying about the coming kingdom, the coming Messiah. But when John showed up, he said, "The Lamb of God, behold, he's here." And that's when the devil got really violent about this thing, because all of a sudden, bam, it's here. And so you and I are living in a violent era spiritually, where we have to take possession of things. They don't just fall on us. Are you with me now? See, God told him in the Old Testament, he said, you keep my statutes, you keep my commandments, you keep my law, and I'll take care of you, and I'll whack the devil. All right, that's not a real scripture where I'll whack the devil, okay? But basically, that's what he's saying. I'll take care of your enemies. But in the New Testament, we still got to keep his word. We still got to keep his commandments and his statutes. But now there's another deal here. God said, I give you authority, you resist him, and he'll flee from you. other words, God said, I'm not doing it for you now. You're a big boy. Your Pampers are off. The passy's out of your mouth. Glory to God. You got authority. Now you got to do something about it. See what I'm saying? And see, you know, when you run into Christians, I mean, I hear Christians over the years. I've been this a long time, and I've had many Christians tell me, "Well, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord to heal me." Well, that could be a faith statement, but it could be where you're just being lackadaisical with it too. Like you're saying, most time the people say that, what they're really saying is that if God wants something to happen, I'm trusting Him; it'll happen. Most time, it never happens. Because God, He's given us the authority to do it. You know, I mean, hey, you know, Ryan was a policeman. He'll understand this. I mean, when you become a policeman, and you become a full-fledged policeman, I mean, you get authority. You get a badge. Amen. Remember Barney and his badge? Let that do the talking. You know, because there's people, like Barney said, there's a lot of people behind this badge that are bigger than you, okay? So you get the badge, you get the gun. Well, you know what I'm saying? You don't call the chief of police every time you want to make an arrest or you want to pull somebody over for a traffic stop and say, is this okay? I mean, you do that one time, you might put up with it. The second time, you might be looking for another job because he's going to get tired of that, calling him at 2 in the morning, can I make this arrest? No, you've been given authority. See, a lot of times we're asking, I'm not accusing you, but I'm saying a lot of times believers are asking God to do something that they're supposed to already be doing himself. Right. Amen. And so it's possible. I want you to see that. It's possible now to have a harvest and not reap it. Now, go to Ecclesiastes chapter let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. That's right after the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, and we're just going to hammer on this a little bit tonight on you know aggressively reaping your harvest, going after it. Don't just lay it all off on God. God's already done His part. Amen. See, I go after healing that way. You know, once I get over feeling sorry for myself, then have you ever done that before? Come on, I have. I mean, I had something hit me. I was telling Pastor Jerry about it. It hit me Monday night during the night. I mean, it was like it just basically crippled me. It wasn't a running injury like that or anything, but something else. It just basically crippled me. And I'm get up on, you know, I mean, I try to get up and go to the restroom of the night, Monday night. I mean, I'm just like hobbling and just having to hang on to stuff. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And to wake up Tuesday morning, it's still there, you know. And I got to feeling sorry for myself. I'm thinking, well, dear God, you know, I mean, you know. And I've got to feel, and I let that go on for a minute. I thought, well, this isn't working. It's not getting any better. And I got militant about it. Amen. And started going after my harvest, praise God. Amen. That's the Lord to heal my foot. That was the issue of this foot. Heal my foot, you know. And then I began speaking and saying and claiming and commanding. Hallelujah. And I'm here. I mean, if you'd asked me Tuesday morning, will you be there Wednesday night? I thought, no. But I'm going to wait till Wednesday morning to make that judgment. Then I realized this is just nothing but, you know, unbelief. You ever got those letters from these preachers, these faith preachers, and they got a project going on, and they're asking you to give, and in small print, it has on there, in the unlikely event that we get all the funds we need, or more funds than what we need, in the unlikely event we get more funds than what we need, I'm thinking, you unbelieving thing, you. You ought to just say, when we get more funds than we need, here's what we're going to do with the overflow. Come on, help me out. See, those little subtle things right there rob you of your harvest. Just little things but the devil tricks you, you know, and he'll do that. It's like yesterday when for a little bit, I started feeling sorry. I said, well, what in the world is coming on me? I mean, come on, you know what I'm talking about. And I had to catch myself and said, no, that's not the way this works. You don't get healed by getting God to making God feel sorry for you. I'm sure He feels sorry for all of us. That was a joke. But I'll tell you something, it doesn't work that way. How many know that? Right. I mean, you got to get in agreement with His word. And so I did. I said, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Let's just stop all this nonsense. No, I'm right at the point. At that point, I was confined to my chair. That's as far as I could basically get, with, unless it was just an emergency. And I said, wait a minute. I got a harvest here. Jesus has provided healing for me. I'm going to aggressively reap this thing. And by the time Phyllis got home, I was walking on my own. I walked in here tonight. I'm walking out tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because this belongs to me. But you can't just be passive with it. You got to be aggressive with it. Amen. All right. Now, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. It says, he that observes the wind shall not sow. All right. So in other words, you see, if you say, well, you know, the wind's blowing too hard, I can't go out there and sow because it's going to blow my seed everywhere. He that regards the clouds shall not reap. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, it's like the guy, you know, he's getting ready to go out and harvest, you know, but he sees clouds, you know, out there, and he thinks, well, it's getting ready to rain, so I'm just going to stay in bed. I mean, that guy is going to be a failure, right? You know, you got to get out there, amen, and go after it. What is this saying to us? Here's what it's saying to us. It's saying, don't let any kind of circumstances dictate you harvesting. See, I've seen this over the years where if somebody has something that's minor, then they believe God for a harvest in that area. They believe God for deliverance or healing or financial provision. But if it gets too big, then it's like, well, I don't know about this. I mean, you know, it was just a little bit of pain. Now it's cancer. Well, how do you know God has a harvest? There's no limits on him. He has a harvest for healing for cancer and everything else. Are you with me? See, it doesn't have to just, it's not like God can just do minor things. Amen. It's us and what we're willing to put our faith out there and believe for, what we're willing to harvest. It's not up to God, it's up to us. You know, I learned this about the Lord. He'll just meet you wherever you want to meet him at, on what level, and he'll bless you where he can. But it's up to you to decide how big a harvest you want. Amen. You know, you got to kind of judge, where's my faith at in this? You know, where what can I believe for? And go and get your harvest at that level. Amen. Are you with me now? So don't let this deal, because this is, remember we read the scripture we started out with, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to kill and destroy. Well, one of the ways he steals is by, you know, using those circumstances. Remember, we talk about this all the time, but it's a good example. It happened to Peter. Peter was outside of Jesus. Peter was the first water walker. As far as I know, I've never met anybody else that's done it. But I'll tell you something. Peter lost his harvest because the wind was boisterous. What happened? Well, circumstances got too big for him to keep harvesting what he was harvesting. See, that's what can happen. You know, circumstances get, you know, I mean, God is not limited by our circumstances. Don't let them limit you. Amen. So, you know, he that regards the clouds, he's not going to reap. In other words, if you're just looking, you know, like, man, I tell you what, Pastor, if it wasn't this bad, I know God could come through. Think about what you're saying right there, you know. Come on, think about what you're saying. Well, you know, I know, you know. Listen, God can heal you at the last moment, right? If you just turn your faith on. He can bail you out at the last moment. You just turn your faith on. And sometimes he does do it at the last moment. He's the slowest God to be on time I've ever seen. But sometimes it may be at the last moment. What's it matter? I mean, what's it matter? As long as you get bailed out, right? I mean, you know, you may sweat some BBs, but that's your fault. Right? That's my fault. God knew what he was going to do all along. Amen? You know, it's like when Israel left Egypt, you know, and they come up to the Red Sea. There's Pharaoh's army. How many know God? It almost looks like God didn't know what he was doing. Like he let them, you know, in a trap here, you know. And that's what the people are thinking. Well, my gosh, we'd been better to stay back there than come out here and they kill us. Let me know, God already probably knew what was going on. How many believe God probably knew what he was going to do? And how many know we should just trust him? He shouldn't have to tell us what he's going to do. Right? If he does, thank God, but he shouldn't have to tell us every move he's going to make. Amen. Hallelujah. You know? And so we can't allow that. Now let's go. I want to look at two more things. Is that all right? All right. Proverbs, we're in Ecclesiastes. Just back up to Proverbs 18, real familiar scripture. Proverbs 18. And I want to read this. This is something we've read numerous times in this church, but we're going to keep reading the scripture because it's a good scripture. Proverbs 18. Got it? Verse 20, it says, a man's, this is the King James, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now that word increase there, it means harvest. So you're going to be filled with the harvest of your lips. So he went on to say, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, love what? Love the tongue, love to talk, shall eat the fruit thereof. So what is one of the ways that we reap our harvest? Well, right here, it tells us by our tongue. That's what he's saying, by your tongue. So if you like to talk, and some people like to talk, right? I mean, I'm kind of maybe in the middle a little bit. Phyllis is on this side where, you know, she'll speak to you if she has to. I'm teasing. But she doesn't like to talk like I like to talk. I go outside my front door just looking for people to talk to in the neighborhood. She doesn't do that. If she runs into somebody, she's nice, sweet, and friendly. I hunt them down. I'll just walk out like I'm going to the mailbox. I'm just looking to see, is there anybody out there, you know? And we'll talk, you know. But if you like to talk, Proverbs says, you just know this, you're going to eat the fruit of it. So if you like to talk, just make sure you're talking good stuff. Make sure you're saying things you want to harvest. Amen. I could have said yesterday, that morning, or I could have said, oh, that foot's killing me. Well, that's not really how I don't want to die by a foot. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to do that. I want to. So, you know, and I admit, you know, that it was so bad. I mean, I was like, I don't see how anybody could live with this. It's just like, take, if this doesn't go away, shoot me. Just shoot me. I mean, you got that much compassion on a horse. Come on. I'm teasing, but you understand. How many ever felt that way? You know, it's like, oh, man, to die would be gain. And so I, you know, there's just for a minute, you start feeling sorry for yourself a little bit. And then you go, but you got to catch yourself. Let me know that. See, we're just all human, right? Some of us are better looking than others, you know, but we're just all human, right? And so you have to get a hold of that and say, no, wait a minute, that's not the way you harvest from the kingdom of God. You don't harvest that way by feeling sorry for yourself or trying to get the Lord to feel sorry for you. You know, he already wants you to have it. It's the devil's your adversary. He's the one you got to go after and say, you're not holding my harvest back. Healing belongs to me, and I'm going to be healed. Amen. Praise God. Now, all right, so death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I want to eat good fruit. How about you? I mean, I want good fruit. Now, let's go to one last scripture. I hope you got something tonight. Joshua chapter 1, let's go there. Joshua, the first chapter. And want to just show you something here. I want you to get this principle. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this principle because this will really help you. Understand that there could be a harvest out there and you not reap it. Right. It's not automatic. Right. You have to understand that. You have to do the reaping. Just like the farmer has to go out and do the reaping. And he has to be aggressive about it. You know, he could just say, well, God, if you want me to have, you know, corn this year, I guess it'll come in. I mean, we know enough in the natural that it doesn't work that way. He knows that. He's got to go out and get it. Well, the same thing's true in the spiritual realm. You just got to go out and get it and say, no, this is just the way it's going to be. And I always tell people, you know, just find out what you can believe. Just check yourself. Don't step out beyond what you can believe. You know what I'm saying? And God will meet you wherever you're at. Amen. I always think about something Brother Hagin talked about. Somebody, when he was pastoring, when he was young, and he had someone in his church that they had something go wrong with him. I don't remember what it was now, but they were getting ready to have surgery. So Brother Hagin went there, and he said, just tell me, what can you believe? And they said, well, I can believe that the doctor, this will be a successful surgery, and that, you know, I'll have a speedy recovery. So Brother said, fine, let's agree on that. So they agreed on that. You know, and the person went in for surgery, and they came out, and they had zero pain. Their healing was just supernatural. The doctor told Brother Hagin, he said, I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't saw it. He said, I went into her room after surgery, after she, all the goofy stuff wears off, the funny juice wears off. After all that wears off, you know, then you start feeling the pain. You know what I'm saying? And so they came in and said, well, you know, you want a shot for pain? She says, no, I don't have any. And I think the doctor later on came in. He said, I see you haven't had a shot for pain. She says, no, I don't need one. He said, oh, I know you're bound to be in pain with your belly split wide open like that. I'm going to give you a shot. He gave her a shot. That's the last one she had and miraculously recovered. Well, what? God met it right there. That's better than, you know, not getting anything, right? Are you with me now? See, you know, it's like someone asked Brother Osteen, John Osteen, one time, he had open heart surgery. They said, you know, because people get in your grill because act like they're faith giants and they got it all together and they never need any help. And you know what I'm saying? People that's never got out of the boat will tell you how to get out of the boat. And so, you know, he said one time he had open heart surgery because, you know, he needed it, you know. And of course, a lot of the faith people jumped on him, or so-called faith people. These were just people that are, you know, they're just foolish. And yes, mouthy. And they said, well, why did you have open heart surgery? He said, because I want to live. That's a good reason. And even though, you know, if you just gotta go with what's in your heart, where your faith's at. Are you with me now? And reap whatever harvest you can reap from God, praise God. He'll meet you wherever. Amen. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. You know, God will bless you. He'll bless you. But there's more blessing than what any of us have received. None of us are walking in the fullness. Amen. And so sometimes maybe we get good in there and we judge other people that aren't as good in that area and don't realize we ain't got it all together either. Pardon my English, but we ain't got it all together. We have to realize that, you know, maybe we're pretty good in one area, but maybe we're not so good in another area. I mean, I've told God before, don't ever bring these kind of people for me to minister. I'm not naming what kind, but I've just told God, don't bring those kind of people to minister to me because I'm afraid it wouldn't work very well. I'd probably hit them or something. I don't know. But, you know, there's other people out there. They can do it. They got the grace. They got the ability. Well, that went over big. All right. I mean, you got to know where you're at, right? You know what I'm saying? Amen. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, if God's going to meet me and give me a harvest, I want whatever harvest I can get off of God. Amen. Brother Hagin, I don't mean to talk about him all the time, but I grew up listening to him. And I remember one story he told about a Rhema grad. You know, a lot of people, they hear somebody say something, and then they want to act the same way they act, and their faith isn't there. But Brother Hagin told a story one time at one of the Rhema grads, one of them he knew. They had a church that was going really good. They had, I think he said they had about 1,000 or 1,200 people, but they didn't have their own building. They rented these facilities, you know, to have a church. And so the time come, they were going to have to get out of that place and go somewhere. And a Baptist church down the street that from where they were at, you know, it came available. And the Baptist pastor met with this pastor and said, look, you know, our building will fit your needs. And we'll sell it to you, and we'll even finance it for you. We'll do the financing. And this church, Brother Hagin said, they had $250,000 in their building account. So they had a little bit of money, you know, in there. But this pastor, because he'd heard some other preacher say, don't ever go in debt, he said, no way, I'm not borrowing any money. I'm not going to go in debt. No way, not going to do it. Well, that might be okay for Brother So-and-so over here, but you better find out where your faith at and where the will of God's at for you. And so Brother Hagin said, they said, no, well, he had to go lease some other spots, another spot, because the place he had wasn't working. It wasn't small enough, and they lost their lease, I think, too. So he had to lease some other office buildings and end up being so pricey, he ended up using all that $250,000 in the building fund to pay the lease on this building when he could have bought another building. And Brother Hagin said their church ended up dissolving. He said if he'd have just used some common sense and realize this is God. This is a tomato on a stick being handed to me right here. And instead of just living off somebody else's faith or what they heard somebody else say, listen, that'll get you in trouble when you're trying to live off what somebody else said or what God told somebody else to do. Yeah, we went in debt for this building. But we could still be leasing buildings. We did for 17 years. We could still be doing it and paying more money than what we pay for this place. And this place is almost paid off. Seems to me like that's a little bit more wisdom if you'll just listen to God and follow your own faith and let Him bless you where you're at. Amen. Come on, are you getting something tonight? All right, I didn't mean to say all that. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says in this, in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Now, don't take what I said. See, pastor said, I go borrow for that new truck. You probably don't need it. You know what I'm saying? Because people will take something like, see, honey, pastor said we could do that. No, I didn't say that. This was a different situation. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, or his assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have. Now have's past tense, right? That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So what is God saying here? He said, I've got a harvest out there for you. It's there. It's there. Now, let's go over, and last scripture tonight, let's go over to the 18th chapter of Joshua. Did you get something tonight? Amen. Joshua 18, verse 1. It says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance or had not yet reaped their harvest. Did they have a harvest? Had they reaped it? No. And Joshua said, verse 3, unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? What is he saying? He's saying, look, there's a harvest out there, and you're sitting around here, and you're not going and getting it. You're slack to go out. In other words, you're being passive about this, and you can't be passive and reap everything God has for you. You have to be aggressive. Remember what we're talking about? Aggressively reaping your harvest. You have to be aggressive and say, that belongs to me, and I'll have it. Amen. I mean, just let a rich relative die and leave you an inheritance. I guarantee you'll get aggressive. Come on. You won't just, well, you know, they cheated me out of it. But, you know, whatever. Let's just, no, you'll go after it, right? Come on. I mean, just let them forget to bring your dinner roll for your dinner. I mean, you'll get aggressive. Hey, this meal's got a roll with it, don't it? Come on. You can't, listen, the flesh, now listen, the flesh and the devil will try to get you to be lazy. Hebrews 6:12 tells us that we're to follow those who through faith and patience, first it says, be not slothful or sluggish or lazy, but follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Sometimes it's a lot easier on the flesh, or it's easier on the flesh, I should say that, just you know, remember, you have to be a little older to remember this song. Doris Day did a song, Que Sera, Sera, what will be. All right? Yeah, that's old. So that shows how old I'm getting. All right? That, I know that song. But that's not an attitude you can have in the kingdom. What will be, Que Sera, Sera. Because if you do that, by default, you give it over to the devil to control your outcome. And he's not a very good Lord, I'm telling you. So you have to determine this is the way it's going to be. I remember when, and let me close right here. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me when I was just a young man. You know, he started dealing with me to give my life to him when I was about probably 17 or 18. Up to that point, I was just living in Party City. And, you know, and I did till I was 21. But he began actually dealing with me probably about, I'd probably say about 18 years old, the Lord started dealing with me. Actually his Holy Spirit started to deal with me and start to convict me. Around 18 years old or 19, I realized that I might have a calling to preach the gospel. I immediately thought it meant I'd be going to Africa. I mean, I didn't know. That's what I thought. I thought, man, I don't want to go to Africa. You know, I'm just a piker, Pike County. I don't need to be in Africa. And I really, you know, that just was my thoughts. And I began to realize something's going on here in my life, you know. But I remember when it come to a culmination, I'll never forget the night that it actually came to a culmination where I realized I have to do something. I have to do something. Because it finally got to the point where, I knew God was talking to me. I knew he was. He actually spoke to me in a bar, and I can't tell you whether it was audible. To me, it seemed like it. But what he said came to pass about 2 weeks later. And I'll tell you in just a minute what he said. But God began to deal with me, and I began to have these thoughts going in my mind. What am I going to tell everybody? How am I going to tell everybody all these people I've done drugs with and all these friends? How am I going to tell them all I got saved? How do you just do that? I mean, it's like I don't think that's going to work. You know, the devil plays on that. You know, he magnifies it like it's going to be this terrible thing that you're going to experience in life. You know, if you try to break with these people, and some of them did. Try to keep me from breaking with them. But, you know, I found out that you can be in charge of your own life. But, you know, I mean, I'm young. I'm still young. But I remember the night that it finally broke on me. I was at this bar, and there was a band, and there's a lower level and an upper level to this bar where I was at. And the band starts playing this song, which I knew the song. I'd seen the group in person in concert. It was called On the Highway to Hell. And I remember looking out there, and there was a dance floor, and I remember I saw people dancing, and I thought, it hit me, reality. This was not just a song any longer. Yeah. All of a sudden, I heard the words. Are you with me now? I mean, all of a sudden, I realized, we are sitting in this bar, we are singing, we are dancing about going to hell. I got to get out of here. And so I got up from my table. I wasn't leaving the bar. I was going to go upstairs where there wasn't a band. And as I got ready to leave, I saw one of my friends. He was along the back wall, just standing in this bar at the very back of the wall. And he just, like, he was not even there. He was just, like, he was just gone. And I made a friend. One of my friends got up to go with me as I was going upstairs. And I made the comment as we walked by him. I said, boy, he's out of it tonight. He didn't even recognize, didn't even notice us. And I got ready to step up the step, and I heard the voice of God, audible, I can't tell you. I don't know this day. But I heard the Lord say, no, he's just going through what you're going through. I thought, wait a minute here. I'm going through conviction. You're dealing with me to give my life to you. He's not going through that. I thought, I dismissed it. 2 weeks later, my cousin called me and he said, did you hear what happened to, and he called this guy's name. I said, no, I thought maybe he died of an overdose, car wreck, you know, that happened a lot. I thought, no, what happened? He said, he got saved. I realized that that was God that spoke to me. I realized I'm next. If God got him and he told me he was going to get him, and he got him, then he's going to get me. But here's what had to happen. I had to aggressively step out of that world to harvest that. I couldn't just casually, well, if God wants me. I had to be aggressive about it. Once I got out of it, they didn't stop coming. They came to my house. I remember one of them coming. He was my best friend. And actually he called me and he said, my sister got married. We're having a party. I'm going to come and get you. You're going to go. I told him, I said, I'm not coming. So I'm coming after you. I said, I'm not going. He said, yeah, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, no, I'm coming to get you. You're going. My sister just got married. You got to come. I said, well, I'm not coming. He said, why aren't you coming? I said, I got saved. He said, saved from what? I said, hell. Click. Here's what I found out. If you're aggressive, you'll harvest. Hallelujah. And then I found out the devil's a liar. I didn't have to tell 500 people what happened to me. Not that I was ashamed to tell them what happened, but I mean, I didn't have to fight off. You understand what I'm talking about. I didn't have to fight off 500 people trying to pull me back. I found out if you tell one real strong, it gets around real quick. But you got to be aggressive. I always tell young people, I know peer pressure is real. The only way to beat it is be the pressure. Pastor Chuck and I have talked about this. This is my final story. But when I were in high school, we didn't know one another. But we both knew a guy that was a Christian guy in our high school. And he intimidated me more than anybody in our high school. Because when I would see him coming, I would get on the other side of the hallway. Because I did not want to get anywhere near this guy. And I'll tell you why. Because this guy was not only a Christian, but man, he'd flat preach to you. Are you with me now? Listen, you got to be aggressive if you're going to beat the devil. Final story. I told you that was the last story, but one more. And I know you hear my stories and you know them, but that's all right. You know, when Dr. Barclay would just, you know, when he came into Michigan and started his church, one of the local TV stations wanted to interview him. And so, you know, he thought, well, I don't know if I should do that or not. So he called a Dr. Summerall and said, look, local television station wants me to come on their station. And should I do it? And Dr. Summerall said, well, I don't know. He said, only do it if it's live. You know, don't do it if they're going to film it because they'll cut out and edit what they want to. Only do it if it's live. He said, did they send you some questions? And Dr. Barker said, yeah, they sent me a list of questions that they're going to ask me. Dr. Summer said, throw them away. They won't ask any of them. See, he had some experience. Amen. You know, they had him on one time, Dr. Summerall. Don't forget my story about Dr. Barclay. I got two going at once. But I love this. They had Dr. Summerall on one of these talk shows, you know, on TV. And because he was pretty well known for casting out devils. And, you know, they wanted to really rib him about it, you know, and try to humiliate him on TV. And this guy's interviewing me, he said, I hear you cast out devils. He said, yeah, if I need to. The guy looked at Dr. Summer and said, do I have one? Dr. Summer said, I don't know. Ask your wife. She'll know. Just embarrass them. So Dr. Barclay, he agreed to go on. And he said, you know, they were real nice to me. He said, there's all kinds of people working there. And, you know, they put the makeup on me and set me on the stool. The lady reporter, you know, interviewer, she's sitting there. And they're just nice and sweet, you know. Oh, pastor, you know, reverend and real nice. He said, as soon as the camera came on, he said, she got this sour look on her face and looked at me and said, the first thing she said is, I hear you speak in tongues. He said, that's the first thing she said. He said, yeah, you want to hear some? And he began speaking in tongues. He said, I didn't know so many people worked at that place. He said, they came out of everywhere. Go to commercial, go to commercial, go to commercial. He said, the producer during commercial break came up to him and said, whoa, Reverend, are you going to do that again? He said, I don't know. He said, you know, when I'm happy, I speak in tongues. When I get angry, I speak in tongues. He said, well, we can't have that here. This interview's over. He said, I hold the record for the shortest interview in the state of Michigan, 15 seconds. But he was aggressive. The good thing about it, he said 20 years later, that station called him back and said, we want to interview you. He said, can I do anything I want to? Even speaking tongues? They said, you can do anything you want to, Reverend. Hallelujah. You just can't let the devil. How many know you can't let the devil decide for you? You got to decide.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.